You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Richard Boxall.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as South Korea's Jungeun Wang wins for the second week in a row, this time at the Afrasia Bank Mauritius Open.
I cannot still believe that I won 2 weeks in a row, and I'm so excited right now. I got a big present. I'm really happy.
And we'll hear more from Jungeun Wang later in the show. The 20-year-old overcame Bangladesh's Siddika Rahman, who held a three-shot lead with three holes to play.
You know, it's really unfortunate, but I gave my best, so I believe it's a part of game. Maybe I have something good in future. It's not my day.
We'll review all the action from the Afrasia Bank Mauritius Open and also look ahead to the next stop on the Race to Dubai, the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open hosted by the Rory Foundation. Richard Boxall, good day to you. How are you?
I'm very well. I would very much have liked to have been in Mauritius, though. It looked beautiful on the TV. Nice warm weather. People with the old Lord Gorts on, you know, that's slang for shorts, but I'm sure you know that.
Bit of breeze, though, wasn't there?
Yeah, no, it was very breezy. But, you know, it needed it really, Rob, because it was quite wide. You know, the fairways were quite wide. But there was only two players finished under par, so it goes to show.
Well, my question to you is why were only two players under par when there's a lot of room off the tee?
I think the greens were probably pretty difficult to read. You got very good players playing there, like Kolsarts and Goya, that did manage to finish on level, but still threw some high ones in. You know, Goya shot a 79 on day two.
Well, he had a 9 on the front nine.
Did he? Now, that's good research, because I didn't know that.
Yes, he had a 9 on the front nine.
Well, that doesn't help, does it?
Jungeun Wang.
Yes.
2 wins in 2 weeks. Explain.
Well, that's confidence for you, isn't it? Morocco was absolutely... he played very solidly. I was doing the commentary on that one out there. Here's me going, you've got to play solidly if you're going to win anyway.
I thought for one horrible minute there you're going to go, you know, you've got to drive it well. You've got to drive it pretty well. Hit some nice iron shots, make a couple of putts.
Say that every week.
20 years of age, Rich.
Yeah, no, it's very impressive. As I say, confidence is a massive thing. You know, Morocco, he played in Morocco. Again, it was a good field, but it wasn't massively strong in the respect of top players being there. And he's picked the baton up from there and run with it. And just, you know, that just goes to show what confidence does. But, I mean, to be perfectly honest, Rob, he shouldn't really have won it yesterday.
Well, Siddika Rahman really had played from pretty much the get-go, played some brilliant golf, hitting a lot more club into the greens than most of the other players because he's not long off the tee. And he, what, 3 holes to play, he's got a 3-shot lead.
The finish, I mean, he was throwing a few bogeys in at the end, out of bounds at the 16th.
Yeah, that's not good.
Help.
And he missed a tiddler at 17. Yeah. And they go up the last all square.
Yeah, and advantage Wang massively then.
Because one's imploding and one's now feeling like from nowhere he's got a chance to win again.
Good word, imploding. And a good up and down from Wang on the final hole to snatch his birdie and win by one at -6. It was topsy-turvy, quite exciting down the last 4 or 5 holes.
He must have been gutted, Richard, Siddika Rahman.
Oh, yes, he was. I mean, he was going through, you know, that routine for every shot. He was closing his eyes and the deep breathing. You could see he was under a lot of pressure. I reckon when he went out of bounds on the 16th, he thought, oh, I'm in a bit of trouble here now.
Thing is, for Jungeun, for 2 weeks in a row, he's out in the first playoff hole against Nacho Elvira. He's out of it. He's 45, 50 feet away. Elvira's hit the green in 2, the par 5.
Yeah.
So he's looking like a 2-putt 4 is going to be good enough. And Wang, I'm sure, thought, well, I'm kind of out of this, in from 50 feet, and then goes on to birdie the next playoff hole, and he wins the tournament. This time, he's 3 shots down with 3 to play, thinking, probably not going to win this. And then, bang, wins again on the 18th green.
He's a great putter, though, isn't he?
With the sort of save your putt and stroke method.
With the sort of saw grip, as I call it.
Mm.
Yeah, and that second win has moved him right up to 13th now on the Race to Dubai, Rob.
What a thrust from absolutely nowhere. It's just incredible. Let's hear from the double European Tour winner, Jungeun Wang. He's been speaking to Mark Tompkins.
Jungeun, can you really believe what's happened over the last 2 weeks? A win in Morocco, and now you've won again here in Mauritius.
I cannot still believe that I won 2 weeks in a row, and I'm so excited right now. I got a big present. I'm really happy.
3 shots behind with 3 holes to play. It looked like it wasn't going to be your day, but this course, that's what it can do to you, isn't it?
Probably luck on my side this week. I didn't even think about winning this week until 16. I just keep missing my putts, so I thought I don't have any chance to win.
Standing on 18, you had the chip from out of the bunker and you didn't seem to have any nerves at all, and it was the same last week with a long putt on 18. For someone so young, that is a great thing to have in golf.
I hit it well on the second shot on the last hole, but it's over the green, so I thought I was just trying to make par, but I made another birdie again, so it's great.
And now, of course, the question is, can you win 3 in a row?
I really hope so, but next week is a really big tournament, so I don't know. First time I go Ireland, and I hope I try all my best.
70th from nowhere in the official world golf ranking. That shows what you can do, even when you're starting behind the eight ball in this game of golf. It's just incredible. He's the first player to win in consecutive weeks since Rory McIlroy claimed the WGC Bridgestone Invitational, followed by the US PGA Championship in 2014. He's 20 years and 263 days. He's the youngest player to win consecutive European Tour events. Only Manacero, Garcia, Ballesteros, Faldo and Olazabal had previously won their first two official European Tour events before their 21st birthday. So he's in very exalted company there. And it's the first time there's been three wins in a season by Koreans on the European Tour. Soomin Lee won the Shenzhen International. First time in European Tour history that 20-year-olds have won three consecutive European Tour events following Lee Hao Tong in the Volvo China Open, Richard. There's a barrel of stats for you.
You know, from that part of the world, a lot of money's going into young golf. So they're, you know, it doesn't surprise me that there's Koreans are doing well and even, you know, players from China are doing well. They're just putting a lot of money into it.
So, Siddhika Raman of Bangladesh could only finish second despite being three shots clear with three holes to play.
You know, it's really unfortunate, but I gave my best. So I leave the rest. It's a part of game. I'm really happy with my round. Maybe I have something good in future. It's not my day.
But I mean, at the start of the week, I'm sure in these conditions you'd have taken a second place, probably maybe even a top 10. But, you know, it's been a fantastic week to take today at the equation.
Well, you know, even I couldn't think that I will be able to reach the second position, you know, before come here. Like, I was really struggling my golf. So I'm really happy to the second position, really.
Well done to Siddhika Raman, taking that sort of late defeat, the snatch of victory taken away from him by Wang at the very last knockings in Mauritius. But well done and well taken. Now, Belgium's Nicolas Colsart signed for a wild 75 on Sunday, which contained three double bogeys, leaving him tied third on level par and a little disappointed.
Started off in the worst possible way I could. Fought back in the end, you know, decent back nine with a nice eagle and a nice birdie to finish with. But yeah, a bit disappointed, but... You know, I came into the last round third and I finished third. So in the end, you know, when I didn't show up on the last day, it's not that bad.
I suppose, and you've witnessed the battle of the two eventual first and second place winners, and they've just shown, you know, in those final holes how tough it is here.
Yeah, I mean, I from 15 on all the way to the end, it's a very tough finish. So unfortunately, a pretty bad shot from one of the two guys on 16 off the tee, but. But yeah, it proves that, you know, this is a great golf course. It's a great test. Okay, the element played a big part, but it's just a very well-designed golf course.
And of course, Nicolas Colsart's attached there to the venue, Richard, so he would have expected to do well.
He'd have played it plenty of times. I think he probably sneaks down there on his jolly holidays, don't you, Rob?
Oh, it's a lovely place to go, Mauritius. Nice, it certainly is. And Argentina's Tano Goya shot a final round of 71, moving up to tied third, thanks to a pep talk he gave himself in the closing holes.
Be patient. Maybe, you know, you're playing good, so you can make a couple of birdies. It's going to be tough. Everyone's going to make bogeys, so be patient. And in payoff, because make actually a good birdie in 15. Actually a tough hole today, and made it through with par in 16 and 17, which was perfect. So with and a great birdie in the 18 to get into five and go to Ireland.
Top five, Richard. After playing well then, going to Ireland.
That was a big moment for Goya. I'll tell you another one who was doing well. It was Richard McAvoy, but had a bad finish, had 73. He needed top five also to get to Ireland. But we spent a bit of time with Goya, didn't we, in Morocco?
Tano, Morocco, yeah.
Yeah, he's a nice chap, isn't he?
Yeah, good lad. I mean, he's won before on the European Tour. That's a very important thing to have done. Fallen off the treadmill a little bit and now trying to build it back up and... Who knows? Gets to Ireland, playing well, has a good week there. It can all bounce along in a good direction. Now, Australia's Andrew Doat led the tournament after both of the first two rounds, but a closing 76 saw him finish fifth on one over par.
Can always be better, but there's so many positives to come out of this week, especially the first 45 holes. That's as good as I've played and probably handled myself in a long time. And I've got to look at those positives and not the other.
Well, that's always a good way to look at things, Richard, isn't it? Concentrate on what you did well and not on what you did badly.
Easy to say, difficult to do.
Very difficult to do. Years of experience tell you that is very difficult to do. Please, Richard, give us the top 10 from the Fraser Bank Mauritius Open.
At three over par, tied seventh, was Scanji, McAvoy, McGowan, Terry Pilkadaris and Jason Scrivener. Brandon Stone was at two over. He finished sixth. Fifth spot was Andrew Doat from Australia at one over par. Goya and Colsart's were level par, tied third and fourth. Siddhika Raman finished second at minus five, and one ahead of him was Wang, your winner from Korea, at minus six.
Yeah, tremendous 2 weeks for the young Korean player, no doubt about that. Now, Richard, the top 10 in the Race to Dubai standings.
10th spot was Soomin Lee, Charles Schwartzel's 9th, Joost Luiten is 8th, 7th is Lee Westwood, Brandon Grace is 6th, Henrik Stenson is 5th, 4th is Rory McIlroy, Rafa Cabrera-Bayo is 3rd, 2nd Louis Oosthuizen, and still the Masters champion Danny Willett leads the way at number 1.
And in the fantasy race to Dubai tips, in our absence, Dan Roebuck went for Scott Hendu, tied 12th, and Gordon Brand Jr. went for George Coetzee, tied 27th. Now, in the fantasy race to Dubai game, it was Ken Jensen who was celebrating last week. His team, which included both Wang and Sidika, earned the most points from the Fraser Bank Mauritius Open. In the global leaderboard, Danny Kirtan currently leads the way by more than 500,000 points. Check out EuropeanTour.com this week for the Fantasy 3 to watch in Ireland. And look out this week as well for a daily fantasy game, a brand new one. Check it out, EuropeanTour.com, for more details on that. And in other news on the PGA Tour, Jason Day won the Players' Championship at Sawgrass. The Australian finished on 15 under par, with American Kevin Chappell, his closest rival, on 11 under. Day's average ranking points are now the highest for a world number one since Tiger Woods in 2013. So what's he going to do now?
Keep pushing in, because Tiger says he's going to kick my butt when he comes back. So if he does come back and he's turned into Tiger Woods again, I've got to kind of watch my behind. But yeah, that's the main goal and main reason why I'm trying to, you know, extend that lead so that I stay on top. Because at the end of the day, it's very stressful being the number one player in the world. You're in the limelight a lot. You've got more things to do when you get to tournaments, more things to do off, you know, weeks. But I wouldn't change it in any way, because this is exactly where I want to be. And I want to try and stay here as long as I can, while I can, because nothing beats this feeling.
I think Jason's slightly lost sight of, Richard, what stress is, because being the world number one with all the bits and pieces that come with it, that's not stressful compared to being the world number 1001.
I would like to swap. There's no question about that. You know, what he's basically saying is he's got to, you know, all the interviews and all the media work he's got to do, really, because the golf's still exactly the same.
Only worry when nobody wants to talk to you.
Correct. Have you started worrying yet?
No, I've well past that now. I just assume that nobody's going to come on my door and go... But Jason is playing some incredible golf. He really is. And he set the new marker for the likes of McIlroy and Jordan Spieth and Ricky Fowler and all those that are chasing. They've got to either hope that his form dips away. If it doesn't dip away, they've got to do something quite remarkable to get to him.
They have, the way he's playing. If you think about it, Rob, it wasn't too many years ago. He couldn't win a tournament.
He was a very good player that was always in a position to win, but a very poor closer-outer of tournaments. And now, he's turned that right around now. He's a serial winner. I mean, and a serious serial winner.
I'm watching it last night. I mean, you just thought, he's not going to make any mistakes here.
The thing was, he's starting to win now in different ways. He won yesterday, having had a few scruffy holes, and he still held it all together. Yeah. And put some good swings on it towards the end and closed it out. And I mean, there would have been a time where if he'd have had that patch around the turn, that he might have, you know, he took 6 at 9 after being greenside and 2. If he'd have had that, he might have wobbled. He didn't wobble at all. And it was really impressive to watch. Jason Day is some golfer. He really is. Italy's Francesco Molinari finished tied for 7th or 9 under par, while Northern Ireland's Graham McDowell and Rory McIlroy finished at 8 and 7 under par respectively, with Justin Rose at -5. So, Richard, top 10 in the world rankings, please.
Top 10 are, in 10th spot is Justin Rose. Another Englishman, Danny Willett, now is 9th. Dustin Johnson is 8th. 7th is Adam Scott. Henrik Stenson is 6th. 5th, Ricky Fowler. Bubba Watson is 4th. 3rd spot is Rory McIlroy. Jordan Spieth is 2nd, but leading the way, the man we've just been talking about, Jason Day.
And some sad news this week. Only weeks after we lost Christy O'Connor Jr., Christy O'Connor Sr. passed away. The Irishman played in 10 consecutive Ryder Cups, a record better only by Nick Faldo. Europe's current Ryder Cup captain, Darren Clarke, said Christy was in many ways the father of Irish golf, and his death so soon after that of his nephew, Christy Jr., means that Ireland has lost 2 Ryder Cup legends in the space of 5 months. You can read the tributes for Christy O'Connor Sr. on EuropeanTour.com himself. He was known as himself, Richard.
He was, yeah, and I had the pleasure. I played against him. Did I play against him? No, I played with him. Do you remember that tournament we used to play down at Chepstow?
At St. Pierre.
At St. Pierre, yeah. Not the Epsom Grand Prix.
Murphy's.
And it was a point system. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And I got drawn with him, and he had a driver out with a bit of whipping that was sort of held together.
Wooden driver.
Yeah. Held together with a bit of tape at the top. And he got it over the back of the first hole, the par five. I'm not going to bore you with the whole thing, but he knocked it over the back of the first hole, the par five. And he's got this sand iron that's the size of a soup bowl, you know what I mean? And as sharp as a knife.
Right.
The leading edge. And he's on the tight grass. And I thought, good luck with that one. Anyway, he goes out, a little bit of a movement, but digs into the back of the ball, on it goes, in. And he looks across and just winks at me like that.
Little three?
Little four, birdie four. And it was just the way he winked at me.
You see people hitting modern drivers, metal ones, off the deck, and it's not that remarkable. But to hit a good shot with a wooden driver off the deck was very special, and he could do that. He was an amazing golfer and very underrated.
Oh, massive.
You know, they talk about a lot of the greats from that time. Christy Senior should be in that group.
Most definitely. Brilliant short game as well.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. Sad news indeed. Now, meanwhile, Darren Clark, along with former winners Luke Donald and Lee Westwood, will all play the Aberdeen Asset Management Scottish Open in July. Also in Scotland, spectators at the Paul Laurie match play in August will be given the chance to return to the Archerfield Links course for free 2 weeks later to watch the Prostate Cancer UK Scottish Senior Open. And Gary King held his nerve to seal a maiden European Challenge Tour title, birding his final hole from the greenside bunker to win the Montechia Open by Lioness. Well, we're sort of returning, Richard, now to the European mainland, because next up it's the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open hosted by the Rory Foundation. Big event at the K-Club.
Yeah, nice to be back on, European soil. K-Club, been played many times. There's been some low scoring around there. Good finish. You've got 17 and 18. Water involved down the left of 17. Water involved all the way down by the green at the 18th. So there'll be a few things going on there. I remember Bernard Langer hole, a massive putt there. Do you remember that? Pin was front left on the last hole, European Open.
I do remember that, and it bounced all the way down there.
The greens weren't good in those days, and it bounced all over the place, and
it went. I saw Darren Clark miss narrowly on 17 and 18 when he needed one birdie for 59.
I remember
he shot
that.
60 around there, around the Palmer course, which is just ridiculous.
Yeah, and I also saw, I was actually on course commentating when Thomas Bjorn had that little bit of
11.
Trouble with the Liffey at the 17th, do you remember?
He was asking for a new ball, Ken, before it had even started turning left. He just knew it was going to go in the water, all the way in Liffey. Yeah, Michael's favourite, Richard, that hole. Can you remember that?
I can. Michael's favourite was...
Well, Michael Smurfit was very much a part of the K-Club
and was a
big sponsor as far as the European Tour for a long time. And he had the hole there, Michael's favourite.
Called Michael's favourite.
Which was called Richard's least favourite.
Much, much least favourite. I couldn't... I played there with Gordon Brown Jr. once. I think Malcolm McKenzie was the other one. And it started to rain. It was my honour on the tee, and it started to rain. You know, you know the thing. You know, you get the umbrella up, and a quick look at the clouds. Is this going to go away? Oh,
can I stall?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll put the waterproofs on now. So, and Brand Junior said to me, "Oh God," he said, "I'll go." Anyway, he teed it up with a wooden driver and roofed it, Robert. And he's going to the ball. Go. It just about made the middle of the water off the end of the tee.
I know where you are.
Oh.
It's 50 yards he's hit it.
Oh, yeah. I said, go. I said, you need a canoe to get that over the other side like that. Obviously, my tee shot then with water down the right, I started it at the trees left with a Captain Cook.
The low smother.
Hook.
Never, ever going in the water.
But then the relief is, oh, good, I can just sand darn it out now and sand darn it on over that water. I didn't like water at the end of my playing career. Hated it.
So you made your par five.
I made a standard par
five. 410 yards, shortest par five in the world. You made your five.
But there's a couple of holes. There was that one, and then the ninth hole at Morocco were two holes towards the end of my career, Robert, at Rabat, that is, that I used to wake up screaming.
We just saw it a week ago, didn't we?
Screaming about in the middle of the night.
Yeah, a week ago. Island green.
Yep.
Sounds nice, doesn't it? Sounds romantic. Palm trees.
Bamboo behind the green. Yeah, it's nice to talk about it when you're commentating on it, but then playing it, you know what it's like, Rob. If you had something wrong in your game, it was so uncomfortable.
Yes, nowhere to hide.
Not a place to hide.
Nowhere to hide. Now, Rory, very much a part of this Irish Open, and it certainly had a lift with his name being involved in it.
Oh, no question. And, it was exactly the same last year, and he has a lot of work to do. He's got a lot of dues that he has to go to. Don't be surprised if he doesn't win it. It's difficult to win when you're distracted in so many different directions.
I suppose so, but not impossible. Not for a guy like Rory.
No, it's not impossible.
Because last year he missed the cut, Rory. He won't want to do that again.
No, I doubt he'll miss the cut again, but he's just got a lot of, sideline distractions. It's not easy.
He's almost there, Rory. You watch him the weeks he's playing. He's just a Rolls-Royce of a player, isn't he? That's what he is. Without even thinking about anything else, he can just waltz it around that golf course.
I'd like his swing for a year, wouldn't you?
I would like to play golf from his tee shots. That's what I would like.
Yeah, even at your standard today.
Some of his decision-making sometimes. I mean, last week, he had birdie up that ninth hole, the par five, his last birdie up there for 62.
Yeah.
He's got about 270 odd yards to the green, which for him is very doable. He might have even been able to smoke a low three iron and hook it on or get it near the front. And he laid up, made six. And I don't think he recovered after that. when you're hot and you're 9-under par for the round, you just don't back off on the par five.
Well, no, if it's, you know, you can understand it. There's water all around the front and around the side, but there wasn't. It was just
it was an amazing decision for a guy that is gifted with, you know, a green light every time he plays.
Yeah, no, definitely.
And stood there and thought about it. Between him and his caddy, they come up with, we better lay out with a 9-iron play.
No,
I can see Rory winning there. I can see him doing it, even despite all the dinners and the glad handing and the rest of it that he's got to do. I can see him winning if he gets it going around the K Club. No doubt about that. What about the field, Richard? Apart from Rory, who's playing?
The Masters champion is playing, Danny Willett. You've got the man who's in the top three in the race to Dubai, Rafa Cabrera-Bello. He's in there. Shane Lowry, making his way back from the United States. He'll be playing Lee Westwood, Matthew Fitzpatrick, David Lingmuth. You've watched him play quite a lot in America. Bernd Wiesberger, Søren Kjeldsen's playing. Martin Keimer, Padraig Harrington, Darren Clark, Graham McDowell, Alvaro Quiroz, who hasn't quite picked up yet from his injuries and stuff that he's
had. Getting better, though.
He's getting there.
He's getting better. Sure.
You had a long chat with him in Morocco.
I did.
What was it all about?
Yeah, just about, you know, how sometimes when you've got a way of playing that you think you have to do something different to get more consistent or improve, and sometimes that is the wrong move. Maybe just sort of round the edges and oil what you've got, but don't go for a revamp of any kind when it's already got you there to a position where you can win several times in the European Tour. Don't mess with it.
Six times, I think he's won.
He's getting back. Now, who are you going to pick for your fancy race to Dubai tip?
I am going to pick, having watched him play last week on TV, I'm going to go for Shane Lowry, an Irish win.
Because?
Well, I just think he's obviously a fine player. I think he's, this course, the K Club, is more inland, which is, you
know, it's one he'll know pretty well.
Yeah, and I think it'll be set up pretty much like an American sort of setup, I think.
And Ireland are lucky in a way that, you know, the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open hosted by the Rory Foundation are lucky because all the Irish players come back to play. 2006, all the Irish players come back to play.
Oh, no.
And it creates a great atmosphere.
Yes, plus.
Rory and Shane and Harrington and, you know, all the Irish players, McDowell, they're all playing.
And what fantastic crowds they get there as well. They'll be massive this week. But I think Rory, when he's out in America, I think has a little word with them. You know,
they always play.
Yeah, they do, actually.
The Irish players always play.
They do.
Yeah, they do. They always support their own tournament, that's for sure.
They do.
And it makes it great. Makes it a great Irish week. It really will be. So you've gone for Shane Lowry. I'm going to counter that with Thomas Peters.
Are you? Big hitting Thomas.
Big hitting Thomas. Yeah, I think the course is going to suit him like you can't believe. If long and straight's your thing, Richard, he likes to hit driver, Thomas Peters does. He can be Rory-ish when he's driving well.
No, we can't. No, you've got to, it'll be quite wet, I think, the fairways out there. I don't think it'll be, you know, the Emerald Isle always gets a bit of
moisture.
Bit of moisture in there. And no, you're right. If he, I've been looking forward to seeing the course, though, because if you go offline, they've really got to make it thick, that rough.
It'll be thick.
Good.
I think it'll be thick. It'll be a punishment for the wild and weary, and it'll be bliss and beautiful fairways for those that can nail it straight. That was a category you and I were in, Richard, anyway, certainly.
Remember it well.
As far as I remember. That's it for this week. Please join us next week when we review the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open hosted by the Rory Foundation and look ahead to the BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. But for now, from Richard Boxall.
Bye.
And myself, Robert Lee, enjoy Ireland. We'll see you next week.